Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
I honestly think Pep needs to change a little bit of tact. You haven't got Rodri, you have to stop playing through the middle as much because teams are pressing you to death and they're giving up way too many chances.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off The Ball's Breakfast Bite. Giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Right, it is bang on 8 o'clock, and I'm delighted to say Tommy Walsh is with us. Tommy, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, Colm.
Hiya.
What's the crack?
Are you? Is it Luka Modric I'm talking to here? I like your new hairstyle. Yeah, no, delighted to be back, Jerry. Good winter off there. As you can see, I'm still not back from San Francisco there. I'll show you Drew back in the morning.
It's looking lovely, yeah.
The family are worried at this stage, Tommy. He's had a great time over there. I'd say the visa sorted, is it?
I'm trying to bring hurling to America. But no, fantastic, you know, winter off, I suppose, if you like. And yeah, looking forward to the season. I suppose it's underway now a couple of weeks. Spent my winter, I suppose, playing racquetball and watching racquetball. You know, when you're involved in hurling, or soccer, whatever sport you're in, you believe that's the only world you're living. But there's so many other worlds out there. And kind of dived into the world of racquetball this winter, and geez, what a breath of fresh air. It was unreal.
Is racquetball different from paddle?
Yeah, so the paddle is played in a tennis court. So racquetball is the very same as handball, except for it's with a racket.
Right.
So very same rules, I'd say, probably 99% anyway, I'd say. But very same game, except for you play with a racket. And the great thing about it is, like, you can play to any age. Like, they've over 30s championships, 40s, 50s, 60s. Like, there's, you know, I see Duxy Welch's brother, like Duxy, you know, arguably one of the greatest handballers of all time. So Paul Brady is probably fighting him for that there now. You know, he's so wonderful for the last probably 10, 20 years. But Duxy was the original, I suppose, great of handball. And his brother is there. I won't give away his age, but he wins over 60s championships there the whole time. And that's the joy of it. Like, you know, I finished hurling last year, you know, and I say finished, but I didn't play last year anyway, and you just miss that buzz, you know, that adrenaline, the dopamine, everything that goes with a match day. And so playing the racquetball tournament, like I always said about the hurling, like the toughest part of the GAA or Gaelic football hurling is if you lose, say, in September or October, you nearly have to wait till the following September, October to make it back up, you know, a full 12 months. And I always loved the way the tennis was with the Grand Slams. You lose in March, you know, you lose in Wimbledon, you have the US Open, or if you know, you have the French Open, or if you lose the Australian Open, you have the Wimbledon Open. So, like, I love that side of it. And in racquetball, it's like that. You know, it starts kind of around maybe October, I'd say, with probably the Fermoy Open. And then on you go to Ballinrobe and so many other championships that go with it. But you lose one, on you go to the next one.
So and, you're not just playing for crack, you were actually entering competitions.
Yeah, well, I was messing around with it for years. We have a court at home in Tullerone, kind of built probably around after the last, during the last kind of recession and that. So it wasn't really being used, but a few lads in started playing racquetball and stuff. And but if you don't enter a tournament, I found you play for a week or two or maybe a month and then you don't play for the rest of the year. So I just said this year now, I missed the hurling this year. So I said this year now, I'll enter a tournament, then you'll train yourself for it. So now I'm not going to train the same way as you train hurling. I'll do it at a, what would you say, in junior level, like, you know.
You say
like,
that now, but I can imagine 3 weeks in, you're like getting up at 6 a.m. and, you know, doing your ice baths after training and watching what you eat.
Yeah, I got a 2-hour session there before I came in this call. Yeah, but I tell you the history of it, like, even, like, say, there's a guy there, Noel O'Callaghan. he's won 24, 25, or, you know, all Irelands, singles opens. Like, this is like the Serena Williams and the Djokovic's of that world. And my, say, when we were starting recording Tullerone, say, whatever it was, 10 years ago, maybe or more, a guy from Kilkenny, Johnny Comfort, you know, say he'd be retired now at this stage. And he was just showing us, you know, the game and that. And it was, it's Noel Callaghan, that great man, he's his son-in-law. But I played in Ballinrobe then the start of the year. And the way it worked down here, look, you know, I got to the final of the novices, is where you kind of start off. And who beat me in the final? Johnny's grandson. You know, Johnny himself, Johnny Comfort himself, was a great racquetball player. Like, back, you know, he's only recently finished up, but he won a lot of doubles championships and that. And so I played him, Cork versus Kenny, in the final, and wasn't too happy with that one. But you know, what was the old saying? Like, an ounce of reading is better than a ton of feed. And you could see that again there. Like, it's amazing. And like, I've met some great characters, like Paddy Boland from Carlo. You know, playing the Carlo team at the moment, that's doing so well. Like, he's an unbelievable racquetball player. He won the Leinster Open just only a couple of months ago. And there's a young lad from Cork, Johnny O'Keeney. He's suddenly now taking over the mantle of number one. Kenny Cottrell down from Glenmore, just fantastic player over all the years. And it's even at home, like, where we're starting to benefit too. Ray Keogh's doing great work now, starting off young fellas. So they're suddenly getting the hunger for it. But it's the tournaments, really, Ger. You're asking me, you know, that's where you get the love. But like, you say, I'm only going to mess around with it. Then you go into a tournament and just watch it. And you just want to be in that court. Like, it's like the Coliseum, you know.
Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves in questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Right, James Chase is with us. James, good morning to you. How are you?
Good.
Will we start with the scrum, right? What happened in that first half where Ireland conceded four consecutive penalties at scrum time?
Well, it's definitely, it was for me, a setup. Started with the setup, but it's also understanding what you're up against. They obviously wouldn't have had too much footage on John, but for me, from experience, Elliot D and what he brings in the middle of the scrum, was he was the root of all of the Irish problems. So he likes to set up, and he almost goes straight down with his right shoulder, and he always goes left. So for Clarkson, what he needed to adjust in the game was his left foot. So bringing his left foot a little bit further forward, his left shoulder through, and been able to kind of weather that storm of all of the weight kind of coming across and in on him.
Did they target him because he's making an appearance in the match like that for the first time? Was that just what he would have done to whoever was there on the opposite side?
I wouldn't say he was necessarily targeted. I would say, again, it would have been a combination of one, you know, reps that he's done with Sheen, because he's a taller hooker, so it's. You set up differently on Sheehan than you would on someone who's a little bit shorter, because you'd be, you know, you're get left a little bit behind if you set up in the same spot. So again, it was a learning day for him of dealing with what you feel in there. I don't necessarily think he was targeted.
Right.
I think it was just the threat that was shown at them. But you also got to tip the cap to, you know, Jones giving the autonomy to bring in a really aggressive front row and mix it up, and they had a really good plan, and they got their rewards for it. And no matter what level of game, no scrum, no win. You can't win the game when the scrum is going against you. And that was the big momentum points throughout that game, minus the red card Which we can touch on again. Still not a big fan of it, the 20-minute red card. But that's where it all started for Wales, was in around the scrum and then picking a back line that could really execute and having a really nice wide pattern.
So from Clarkson's perspective, that's obviously massive amount of experience. How quickly can you take that experience and then not have it happen to you again? Because nobody expects him to be amazing the next day out, but certainly that's in the bank there. How do you improve from that point so that the next time you come across a really aggressive scrum like that, you're like, oh, I've seen this before now.
Yeah, that's for tight heads. You mature at a later age by going through these sorts of learning experiences. It's something that he could rectify in training this week. You look. He can now see the images versus what you're just feeling in there.
Right.
And listen, it's not completely on him, but I feel like he could have set himself better for success. And I know how much of a mess Elliot D makes it from scrummaging against him. So
what's that like?
As I said, you have to keep the scrum up with him there, because the way he scrummages is straight down. So he's just he's directly down, and a lot of the collapses would have been through a lot of the pressure that he's putting down and left. And Ireland,
what can you
not
do there?
Negating it well. As I said, understanding that it's coming is first. But what Finlay did when he came on really well is, if you look back on all of the scrums and where Clarkson's shoulder is, because it's harder to see where the foot is, where his left shoulder is on Sheehan versus where Finlay Bellum's left shoulder is. Finlay Bellum is a lot further forward and more in line with Sheehan, and it just gives you a better entry, and everything else is a lot easier. And all of a sudden,
there's no break,
and there's no. The weight isn't coming left and under the scrum, and he's not getting turned in, trying to deal with all the pressure that's coming at him and down. So again, can be fixed in setup, but it's understanding as well what's coming against you. And they wouldn't have had a lot of footage, say, on John, as I said, because they saw a lot of pictures. And in fairness to Wales, that they threw something different at Ireland. And I think for me, looking at the game, you could be disappointed because we were expected to blow them away with the performance that they've had in this tournament so far, but they actually just performed very well. I don't think it was a very bad day out for Ireland. I think that Wales just threw something different at them, and I think for Ireland, you can kind of look at the footage and being like, do you know what, we weathered that storm quite well, and we had a lot going against us at times. We were away in a very proud nation of rugby that were on top of us for a lot of the game, and we kind of weathered the storm and found a way to win.
Hello, it's Owen Chehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.